Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Is it nice to see sunshine in the Sunshine State again today? There is sun over Florida again. Thank you very much. Just a couple of quick announcements. I am Pastor David here at Lakeside. If you're a first-time visitor with us or new to our community, I welcome you. I'm glad you're in worship with us today, and we are blessed to have you with us. In your bulletins, you will find a connect card, we call it. That's how we register our attendance and any information that you would like to relay to the church or myself. So I would encourage you to at least put your name on that and drop it into the offering plate this morning as it comes around. This Wednesday evening, we're going to have a Thanksgiving Eve service with Holy Communion. So I would encourage you all as we prepare now to thank the Lord for all the blessings that He's given us in life. We will come out on Wednesday evening, I'm eating leftovers on Thursday evening. On Wednesday evening, we will be having a Thanksgiving Eve service at 7 o'clock, so please join us for that if you can. And after that service, we'll have what we call breaking of the bread. Everyone is encouraged to bring a favorite loaf of bread or a pastry or something you would like to share and a topping, and we have fellowship time after the service. And just a time for us to gather and prepare our hearts and to visit with friends and family here at the church. So stick around for that as well after that service. Fellowship dinner on December 4th. Ruthie Rawson is heading that up for us. And there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. We've got a pretty good turnout for that so far, but it is a catered meal, so we need to know how many folks will be coming. So if you'd like to join us on Thursday, December 4th at 5:30, we'll start gathering around 5:30, maybe get around 6, we should, right? But I encourage you all to come out for a fellowship dinner and really get us into the spirit and the mindset of celebrating the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yesterday for Matthew Meals, we had 18 volunteers come and help with that, and we're so blessed by that. They gave out 216 hot meals to our community. So we'll continue to lift that ministry up and all those that come and help with that. It's a true blessing to those that are serving on this side. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. accompanied him this morning, immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Yeah. morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. What's coming up this week?
Thanksgiving.
Why do we have Thanksgiving? To give thanks for what?
Everything.
I didn't get anything new recently, so I don't have anything to give thanks for. My wife. My family's a pain in the neck. Anyone have family that's a pain in the neck? My mother's glaring at me right now. But I'm not going. She raised her hand. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you know what I say? We can't pick our family, but we can pick our friends, can't we?
Amen.
Well, if our friends are rather questionable, our family's rather questionable, then we can give thanks for our friends.
Amen.
Right? So, how can we show God that we're thankful? Well, anybody can go to church. By praising Him and thanking Him, yeah.
By service to Him.
In service, absolutely. How about in the way we live?
Amen.
I make a motion that we change Thanksgiving to Thanksliving. Anyone buy into that? To show our appreciation to God, we live the way He wants us to live. Novel idea. I think I read that somewhere in the Bible. Once it was really hard to find. Is that hard to find in the Bible? Thanksgiving? To live like God wants us to live? It's not hard to find, is it? Open up the Bible anywhere and it tells us we should live thankfully. We should thanks live like God has asked us to live. So I propose this year that we don't have Thanksgiving, that we show our appreciation for God and what He's done with thanks living. Now that's going to mess up the advertising and everything if we do that. How long do you think it would take us to implement this new holiday, thanks living? Think we could do it in a year? Okay. In the next year, you have work to do. You're to contact everyone that advertises for Thanksgiving. Why do things get so crazy around Thanksgiving? Because we're really greedy, aren't we? Who said greedy? Because we're greedy. How come on the day after Thanksgiving, we go out and buy more things on Black Friday? We just gave thanks for all the things we have, and then on the very next day we run out and try to get more things. That seems crazy to me. That doesn't seem like thanksgiving to me, does it to you? So if on Thursday we give thanks for everything that we have, and then Friday we turn around and go out and try to get things that we can be thankful for next year. You think the things we run out and buy on Friday will be around next Thanksgiving?
No.
Probably not, will they? Except the bill will still be there, won't it? We'll be trying to pay for it next Thanksgiving, right? So that's what I want us to do today, is to remember that this week we're celebrating Thanksgiving instead of Thanksgiving by the way we live our lives. And maybe we can sleep in on Fridays. Friday, you gonna sleep in on Friday? Well, that's our goal. Thanks living. We can give thanks, but then we need to live our thanks. Correct? Good deal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let us be mindful of thanks living. We are thankful and give thanksgiving, but let us live our lives in reflection of the grace and peace and honor that you have given each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Libby. I like that.
our service now when we go to God with our prayers and thanksgiving.
We do, each of us have a lot to be thankful for this year, right? The fact that we're still here and able to draw breath, we have been blessed, right?
Amen.
Are some of us more thankful to be drawing a breath this morning?
No snow.
Amen. We do have some folks we want to lift up this week. I know there's going to be folks on your heart that will be silent requests before God, and that is okay because He knows your heart and He knows what's on your mind. Dan Walsh, we're lifting up a praise as well. He had a pacemaker put in on Thursday, and he's back home already on Friday, and he's in church this morning, so that is a blessing. And God is working mightily in your all's life. George Russell as well came home this past week, and he is doing a lot better, so we've been praying for George for some time. We'll continue to lift him up, and Barbara, and Robin, and the entire family, as they continue to nurse him back to full health. Marianne Davis as well, she's been a little under the weather, lifting her up this morning. Travel mercies for those that will be traveling during this holiday season. Grandson Timothy, Beverly Knapp's grandson, we're lifting up. Blessings for Kia Greenwood for her 25th birthday, so happy birthday, Kia. Praise and thanks from Dan and Mo this morning for their church family that have lifted them up this week in prayer. They're giving thanks for that as well. Is this Gary Simmons' granddaughter was in an automobile accident or in an accident? Well, she wasn't hurt. Minor injuries, I suppose. And Terry, who passed away 1 year ago today. Is this Gary?
That's not me.
Okay, yeah, Gary, is that from you?
Gary,
oh, Gary, okay. Boy, we have a house full of Garys this morning. Okay, Gary, we're lifting up your family as well. Giving praise for the good days that her and Stan have as well. We're lifting up Norma Johnson today, Judy's mother. She needs a safe place to be for rehab. We're praying for a quick resolution to her housing needs at this time. Joyce Blankenship, we're lifting up this morning. She's in the hospital with chest pain this morning. So we're lifting Joyce up, Chuck. No visitors at this time, though, so just please continue to lift them up in prayer, Joyce. Heather Pathis this week, Teresa saw her, and she's doing good. And her birthday on the 24th as well. And Catriona is lifting up one of the transplant moms. Put her daughter on the transplant list this week. Elaine Huff as well. I saw Elaine Huff in JFK this week. She had a mini stroke, so continue to lift up Aileen in your prayers. She has been having some ongoing health concerns as well. And we're also giving praise this morning for Mario Rosales' son. He did get his job with UPS. We prayed last week for that interview, so we are grateful that he has found employment with UPS. I know there's many things on your heart today. Let's now go before the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, you can see that our hearts are full of need this morning. Need for our loved ones to be healed and to be comforted and to feel the peace of Christ around them during this holiday time of year that we call Thanksgiving. But Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to thanks living, to be living a life thankful of the glory of God and the way that you have worked in all of our lives, where we have seen peace and joy and contentment, and where you have been there to get us through
times of tragedy and loss and grief. Father, we pray to an awesome God this morning that loves us more than we could ever imagine, loves us so much that he would send his Son to die on a cross for each of us. Father, as we go into this Advent season, as we prepare for the arrival of the baby that would be the Savior of the world. Father, I pray this week that as we go through this hustle and bustle of this time of year, we can stop, slow down, and just think of the greatest gift given to humanity, the gift of Jesus. Father, we live in a world that hurts beyond belief, that has tragedy, that has illness, that has mental illness, that would allow and somehow convince people that violence and senseless shootings and senseless actions can help anything. Father, we pray for those this morning that are hurting, that are lost in the world, that think hurting others is an alternative to their pain. Father, we pray this morning that they would all first seek you and then seek the help that they need. And that for our medical system would be there to help them when they do ask for help. Father, there's such senseless tragedy in our world. And sometimes all we can do is shake our heads and say, why again? Father, there's so much hurt in the world. Sometimes it seems crazy to be thankful. But each day we are thankful for the breath we take, for the people in our lives that we love, even those that are difficult to love, Lord. We pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us the peace to reach out to those around us that are hurting in our world, that we can see from our own front door. So, Father, be with us now as we gather to worship and praise, to give thanksgiving for this beautiful day, to live as Christians who are called to love our enemies. Father, as difficult as that seems for us, give us a way to pursue that life-giving goal. So, Father, I ask your presence to be here in a mighty way this morning, that as we pray together, we know that you are here to answer our prayers and to give us comfort. Let's pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I hope for the last, I'd say it's been 8 weeks, I have been preaching a common theme. Has anyone gotten it yet? No one's gotten it yet. I will be preaching another 8 weeks on this topic. At least I may preach this from now on. Then you all run me off. In a hurting world, I've been preaching about love, loving one another. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Today we're going to talk about loving your enemies. Love, 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 love. Where does this idea come from in the Bible? We can live in a loveless world, can't we? Where does love start? Where does love start? You have to go to church to find out that you can love someone?
No, no.
Love starts within us, doesn't it? It starts in here. We can't change the world until we change ourselves, can we? And maybe some of you like me don't need to change. Okay, you're alive. I like that. Let me read our scripture. Please stand if you're able for the reading of our scripture this morning. It comes from Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. And as I'm reading this, you may go, oh, here he goes again, talking about love and these people we can't stand. Hear these words this morning from Matthew. You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanksgiving and praise today. Once again, the message speaks of loving those who can't stand. Father, we pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would soften our reserves, and let us reach out to others. Give us that courage and that peace. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have been preaching for several weeks about loving everything under the sun, right? I love this, love that, encourage people, give them a good, swift kick in the hind end when they need it. In love, of course, right? Well, our scripture today is telling us to love our enemies. I've said it before, I don't particularly like that. Do you? It goes against our human nature. Today we're talking about the difficulty of loving all people. You know, religious leaders of the day can twist that word around to make it just to justify in their own mind that we don't need to love those people. Story of the Good Samaritan. Folks like us can turn away and look and scurry on by this person who has been beat and robbed. I gave it away, but who stopped to help? Imagine that, the Good Samaritan. So this person was not even of the same religious background. You could say they were enemies. But he stopped and helped. He did more than help. He went out of his way. Verse 44 is telling us to love your enemy. Show goodwill towards them. Romans 12, 17, and 18 says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." Wouldn't it be a nice world today if we could all be at peace? What's the only way we're going to have peace in this world? What's the only way? Are we capable of doing that on our own?
No.
I don't think we are. That's a pretty sad thing to say, isn't it? That's pretty sad. In Luke, it tells us to bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Yeah, right. I get up every day thinking, I'm going to be nice to the first person that mistreats me today. Let me go out in the world and bang around until I find someone that will be ugly to me. Now, how long does it take you on a general day for someone to mistreat you? Are you mistreated before you even get out your own front door? There again, if it's some of our family mistreating us, there again, we're called to love our family as well, right? Chances are we can be mistreated at the drop of a hat. And our day doesn't get very far along before someone says something ugly to us or is mean to us or downright hurtful to us. Yeah, I'm going to thank that person for making my day. Thank you for ruining my day. I'm going to read from Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. If your enemies are starving, feed them some bread. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. Now, I like the burning coals part, don't you? Now we're talking. I can work with that. Why do you think those two are right there together? I said it last week. If someone's angry with you or just doesn't like you and you're nice to them, that messes them up, don't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? It messes them up. I want to be mad at you. Quit being so doggone nice to me. In our relationship with others, what passes generally as just a neat business transaction? You're this level of nice to me, that means I only have to be this level of nice to you. I tolerate you, you tolerate me, and we'll be fine. If I come in and kick you in the shin, and I give you $10 for doing it, that's even, isn't it? Isn't it? That's fair. Everything in our world needs to be balanced, so fair for everyone, so logical. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I have all my teeth but one, so I must be doing pretty good. People have wanted to knock my teeth out, but so far I've been able to dodge it up and stay out of the way. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Here we go again. God's economy just doesn't make sense. Christian love never settles for only what's reasonable. Doggone it, here goes this God thing again. God is not reasonable and insists on giving mercy to everyone. It breaks the chain of logical reactions. Just doesn't make sense, God. Ran across the story of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee. He was asked what he thought of a fellow officer in the Confederate Army who had made some derogatory comments about him. Lee rated this officer as satisfactory, very commendable. The person asked, "General, but don't you know what this person has been saying about you?" "I know," answered Lee, "but I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me." Was he practicing some of this love your enemies? Do you think he had prayed for this person that day? It's hard to give someone a compliment when they just cut you down, isn't it? Any of you good at that? as I thought. You all are as sorry as I am. I didn't notice. Did the choir raise their hand, anyone? Okay. Well, I guess we can say we're in good company, huh? Even Jesus says it, and Luke tells his Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Jesus can do it. Can't we? Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians. Up to this very moment, we are hungry, thirsty, wearing rags, abused and homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are insulted, we respond with a blessing. When we are harassed, we put up with it. When our reputation is attacked, we are encouraging. We have become the scum of the earth, the waste that runs off everything up to the present time. That should make you get up and want to go to work every day, shouldn't it? That should make you want to get up. So what are the reasons we love our enemies? Verses 45 through 47, it says, so that we can be sons of the Father, so that we can be children of God. Once again, it gets tough, doesn't it? It's hard. This is not easy. In Ephesians 4, it tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
Amen.
You know, throughout our generations, God has permitted us, I'm reading, paraphrasing from Acts now, he has allowed us to go our own way. He has allowed the nations to go their own way. And yet he did not leave himself without witness. In that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts and with food and gladness. But the evil people get the same treatment. Does that ever make you mad? God provides for good and evil people alike. When I worked out in the secular world and I had a run-in with a co-worker, I would often say, I can't wait till you get what's coming to you. Some of those folks are still working there and they haven't got what's coming to them, and I waited 30 years to see it and it never happened. But I'm not giving up unless someday they're going to get it. I hope someone calls and tells me, so-and-so got it today. That's not right, is it? That's how we are. That's how we are. If we love only those who love us, what's so special about that? You ever thought that? It's easy to love people you love, isn't it? That's why it's loving people. Let's love someone that we don't necessarily like. Can you see my pain here as a pastor? I made a joke from this very podium one Sunday that says, I love all of you like God loves you. I've been here 3.5 years and there hasn't been a moment that I haven't wanted to slap at least each of you at least once. Now that's maybe overstating the obvious. I'm trying to work out a deal with God that I'll love these people if you'll let me distract them periodically. But you know what? I have a story here, and I think I've told this before, so you may recognize it. I think it's powerful. Corrie Ten Boom. You know Corrie Ten Boom?
Yes.
She shares this true story in her book, The Hiding Place.
She was at a church service in Munich, and I saw her. The former SS man who had stood guard at the showering door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there. The room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said. "To think that as you say, he has washed away my sin." His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people in Blumenthal, the need to forgive, I kept my hand at my side. Even as angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I pray, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. And then, as I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, the current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, to love itself. There's some power behind that little segment of the story, isn't there? Could you love the guard that condemned many of your family to death? Verse 47 here tells us, if you don't love your enemies, then you're no different than the world. We are a product of our environment. We are a product of those living around us. And we can take on that same hurtful spirit and nature of this cruel world. So what's the point of this scripture? In verse 48 it tells us, maturity is the aim. Anyone sitting here today seems to think of themselves as a mature Christian. Gosh, how old do we have to be before we feel to be a mature Christian? Does age make any difference? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's about our commitment to the cause. As Christians, we're not called to live on the same level as the world. Christians are not called to just live on a level that is higher. Because that's not easy. But it is impossible for us, isn't it? About what? What Jesus is saying here is that we must live our lives not by what we want to do, by the power of God within each one of us. I pray that you feel the power of God. It's the only way we're going to love our enemies. It's the only way we're going to submit our own weaknesses to Him and to allow Him to pour His strength into us. The strength is there to be poured into each of us. Are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to take it on as our own? I'm going to end with some points from the good old book of philosophy. Reader's Digest. They made these points. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway.
Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest pride. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for some underdogs anyway. What you spent years building up may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got anyway. So I hope these past few weeks you have seen the common thread about loving one another. As Christians, we don't live by the standard of the world. Amen?
Amen.
We don't live like the rest of the world. We shall be known how we have loved one another as well as our enemies. It's not easy, but as Christians, we're called to that higher standard. I've made a pledge, and as we go into the Advent season, there'll be no more love spoken in this church. How ridiculous is that? If I'll ask you what the common thread has been for the past, say, 2 months, and you look at your neighbor and say, what was it? Well, I give you a challenge then to pray that God softens your heart and that God allows you to find someone that's really mistreated you and be nice to them. So as we go into Advent, I want us to reflect on how we treat one another. Those that are easy to love are easy to love. Let's be thankful that God has put someone in our life. Part of our thanks living, let's love someone that I don't necessarily care for. All of a sudden, this Thanksgiving has a whole new light shining upon it, doesn't it? Let's love our enemies like we love the ones we love. And let's love those who may even seem unlovable. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you because we can't do this on our own. Father, as this scripture today has told us to love our enemies, we can't do that on our own. As Corrie Ten Boom in her book laid that out for us with an SS guard that killed her family. Father, we pray today that you would give us the strength, the spirit, and the courage to love all around us. Let love be the message of this day and of this Advent season and of the coming of Christ. That's why he came, because he loves us. Father, give us that same power that you gave Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn. We are called to be God's people. Amen. Father God, bless us as we go from this place to spread the love of Jesus Christ among those that are even, that even seem unlovable to us. Father, bless us as we leave this place. Let your peace, grace, and glory go with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Back to the appointment.